I have Mitchell Abrahams as a guest this half hour. He's the president of the Benvenuto Group. They have returned to Quebec with three new communities impacting the strong growth in condominium living. The city's architectural landscape is going to be enhanced by these amazing projects, one which bears my name, Le Peterson, Le Belvedere, and the Onyx. And I'm happy to introduce you to Mitchell, and I've got questions for this optimistic man. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad. It's not named after me. Is it named after Oscar Peterson?
You know, there are ties to Oscar Peterson, but it really is a name that works in so many different ways. It's got a sense of a hotel. It's got a sense of jazz, which dominates the neighborhood.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of songwriters with the last name Peterson: Tracy, Griffin, Michael, Oscar, and of course yourself. But we wanted something.
I've written no music.
We wanted something that had a feel for the dynamic neighborhood, and certainly there's a nod to Oscar Peterson in what we're doing, both in terms of the exciting architecture and the location and the jazz festival.
Well, I both appreciate your enthusiasm and the fact that you've come back to Montreal and that you believe in it this much to suggest that it is now the best condo market in Canada. But I have to ask why you say that.
For a number of reasons. First of all, I think we all agree it's one of the most dynamic downtown cities in the country. Really, when you look at condo markets that have done well across the country, very few of them share the exciting living that one can get in downtown Montreal. It's a nice place to live. Festivals have exploded. When we started looking at this, we all talked about the comedy festival and jazz festival, Francophonie, all that stuff. But, from what I understand, there are over 100 festivals that take place in downtown Montreal annually. Add on top of that, restaurants and shopping and theater and cinema. It really is a nice place to live. What's happened for the first time in many years, people's original dream of living in a suburban home with a white picket fence has become expensive. And traveling downtown with construction on highways and bridges makes it difficult to get downtown. And many people's ideas of what their first home should be like or what their retirement home should be like has changed, and people see downtown as offering dynamic lifestyle that you can no longer get in the suburbs.
And I'm looking where these projects are, and the Peterson, the one that we were just talking about, and it's beautiful to look at. It really is. Is in the Cartier Spectacle, right in the middle of that. And I guess you're looking for buyers then that want that kind of life, not so much the peace and quiet.
In some ways, yes, but in others, we're on a small street that some people don't know, De La Concorde, which is just north of President Kennedy and Bloury.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you get the best of a quiet little street tucked away, but when you turn the corner, you're 20 steps away from the action. So when the building's completed, I think we'll transform that street into becoming a nice little residential enclave, but at the same time, you turn the corner, you're at the metro, and you're in the heart of all the action.
Mitchell Abrahams is the president of Benvenuto, the group that he's a former Montrealer. He's come back, he's invested, he's building these three massive condos. And I have to ask you, Mitchell, with all this optimism, too, we have an unstable political climate again. Does this make you nervous?
No. For me, it's more driven on demand. If you look at the market in Montreal, over the last number of years, close to 10,000 condominiums have been sold in the market, and there really isn't an oversupply. To me, it's more about supply and demand and interest rates. People are looking for homes, and I don't think whoever is in power in the province is going to change the need for people to live in interesting neighborhoods and keep living the life they'd like to live.
I think, and we've got some interesting statistics on the Peterson. What, you're 75% sold already? It isn't finished.
We launched the lofts 3 weeks ago and sold 75% of the lofts, which represent the lower 10 floors, in a weekend. The end of September, we'll be launching the high-rise. So the building isn't completely 75% sold. The building is about 35-40% sold, which is a huge number considering we haven't had a grand opening yet.
It's amazing. And what do you get for your money? I want to ask those questions and other things about infrastructure and these buildings, these amazing buildings. Mitchell Abrahams left, came back, is invested in this city, and calls Montreal the biggest condo market in the land, across the nation. And he's my guest this half hour, and I'm picking away at his optimism, and he's defiantly staying optimistic. Mitchell, thank you for that. Let's talk about these buildings and what you get for your money, because the Peterson is really going to change, I think, even the concept. I'm looking at statistics here, 18-foot ceilings, suites designed with skyline views, designed so that no resident faces north. Now, the people north of the city are going to be offended by that. Why not north?
It's more site-specific than views. We have a site that is just south of the Hilton Garden Inn on Sherbrooke Street, which is quite a high building.
Ah.
So instead of having people looking at the face of a building, which you often do, you get buildings that one side has good views and the other three sides aren't great, we decided that it was worth the extra cost of building a building that had what people call a single loaded corridor, which means that the corridor, the common area corridor, runs along the north side of the building, and all the suites face south and east, where you have clear views both towards the river and the bridge to the east, and towards Old Montreal, the downtown skyline to the south.
Lots of lights, beautiful at night and day. You can see down to the mountains, the Green Mountains and the Adirondacks, too, on a good day. That's nice.
And, of course, in the shorter distance, you really have your private balcony overlooking Cartier des Spectacles. So when there's activity down there, you really get to share in what your neighborhood has to offer.
What do you need? Now, I see condominiums, 250 of them, and that's the Concorde. But 250 condominiums, $214,000 to $1 million. For $1 million, I'm looking at some of the amenities. Mm-hmm. 24-hour concierge, two-story lobby, ground floor lounge and theater, chef's kitchen, so you can go in and use a really neat kitchen and serve up for your guests.
You can hire one of the local chefs, because there are many in the neighborhood, to do a dinner party for you and a group of friends, or you could have a bunch of condominium owners meet and have a cooking lesson given by somebody.
And a bicycle repair facility, so you're embracing the downtown bicycle culture.
Well, certainly part of the Montreal culture, and really the city is very pro finding spots to store bicycles for residents, so we said, why not extend it? If you're living in a condo, why not equip a room with the basic tools that it needs to maintain your bike?
We're talking to Mitchell Abrams again, and he's the president of Benevenuto Group, former Montrealer. Why did you leave Montreal, Mitchell?
I left for business opportunities. In 97, I was offered a job in Toronto with a major real estate company. And from 97 till 2003 was part of a really interesting growth of Great West Life Realty Advisors, buying real estate all over the country. And during that time, I really developed a passion for buying apartment buildings and understanding how interesting you could make living in high-rise apartment buildings and condominiums. And in 2003, said it was time to try it on my own, and left to start my own real estate investment and development company.
So you have a passion for this. The incentives. The city has made it, I think, easier to develop and bring and attract the kind of investments you've had. They have their infrastructure problems down underneath. Does any of that worry you? How did that play into your decisions?
The city was a pleasure to work with. It really was. There are downtown planning commissions across the country where there are different challenges. We found the downtown planning department so interested in creating good quality buildings. And when you came with something with interesting architecture, they really became part of the process and really wanted, especially for a neighborhood like this, which is quite an exciting and dynamic neighborhood, they were really excited to be able to add something that would be a positive impact on the skyline.
The Peterson is going to be very interesting on the skyline, and I keep going back to that example, not because I share a name with it, but because of its uniqueness. The building kind of twists and turns. I mean, that is different now, and how difficult and expensive is that to do and to make?
There's a cost premium to doing an interesting building like that. Of course, you need to look at how you plan it. The apartments don't twist and turn like the outside of the building does, and that's a plus as well. We spent a lot of time creating really rectangular and efficient condominiums inside, but really it's your balconies that are undulated, that create the feel of the architecture of the building. So you get the look from the outside of an exciting building, and you get the efficiency of great apartment layouts inside. So it took a lot of work. We worked with Demarest Cousineau, a Montreal architecture firm, who at first were conservative because much of what's been done in the city for a while has been conservative. But once we pushed them, they were really excited to create something that people would be excited about.
I'd love to know more about that process. I mean, is there a worry that that it might not be accepted if they push too far? I mean, you have to balance that.
I think the role of a developer always is to sort of get the best out of his professionals, but try to balance creativity with budget with what you think the market is looking for.
And Brian Patton and Associates, this is an award-winning interior designer. Tell me about him.
So Brian is one of those guys who never seems to age. He's been doing luxury condo projects and homes across the world for probably 45 years now. And this is our fifth project working together. And I worried at the start of using a Toronto designer. He brought all the ideas from experience in condo, but I said, will he understand Montreal? Will he understand how people want to live in Montreal? But after a few weekends walking around and getting a sense of different projects, I think he hit the nail on the head in terms of saying, this is what I think people expect in terms of design and layouts, and people who've walked into the sales center have reacted incredibly well to his ideas.
Is he interested in moving here?
Everyone wants a pied-à-terre in Montreal. Everyone we show this project to says, even if I'm not moving to Montreal, I'll take one of the small ones. It's a perfect way to spend the weekend in the summertime.
All right, I get what you get for $1 million. What do you get for $214,000?
For $214,000, you get exactly the same quality of finishes as you'd get for $1 million. You just get less space. Hmm. That said, in this project, every high-rise suite has a view, and every high-rise suite has a balcony. So I think that's a rarity compared to a lot of our competitors. We've really made sure that if you're a first-time buyer as a university student or someone buying the biggest suite in the place, you can be really proud to call it home.
Mitchell, thank you very much.
My pleasure.